Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. We promised you a man who's going to clean up all the gossip from around the Premier League. Mr. Will Tidy joining us from Bleacher Report. Will, how are you doing today, mate?
Very, very well, thank you, Oliver. It's a pleasure to be on, as always.
It's always a pleasure to have you here, my man. We make time for you any time of day that you can do it. It's a big weekend for Manchester United, Monday night taking on Manchester City. Before we have a look at the game itself and what, if any, meaning there is behind this game aside from inner city rivalry, Wayne Rooney today saying that he feels he's better than Manchester United legend Dwight York. We saw these two recently kind of having a jokey spar off with blindfolded football, but how do you rate Rooney compared to York in terms of the success that he's had and how integral he's been to the success at Manchester United since his arrival?
I think Rooney's right. I think everybody would agree he is a better player, and we'll look back at a better career, I think, already than Dwight York. I think Dwight York was hugely important for United for a period there, sort of leading into the treble season, of course. And his partnership with Andy Cole was one of the great Premier League strike partnerships. I think a real sort of mutual understanding there. Rooney's a better all round footballer than York. I think you know, it's interesting looking at his legacy. You know, maybe he hasn't quite achieved what we thought he would when we saw that sort of stocky teenager come on the scene with Everton, but he still achieved a tremendous amount. It's just maybe he hasn't quite reached the heights we thought he might when he was sort of 16 years old.
Are we letting that obstruct our view and our thoughts about Wayne Rooney then? The fact that we did build him up so much when he was that young teenager, 16-year-old, scoring that great goal against Arsenal in an Everton shirt. And are we unnecessarily disappointed by what's happened with him?
Yeah, of course we are. And it's a fair point to say that maybe he hasn't quite been what we hoped he might be. You know, when he came on the scene, being English and fans of the England team, we thought maybe this was the guy that could take us further in a major tournament. Hasn't worked out for Rooney at the major tournaments for various reasons. Injury, you know, being probably the biggest one, but also, you know, the World Cup in 2010, he was just flat, you know, coming out of the sort of personal crisis, really. So, yeah, I think we still have to say, if you take a step back, you say Rooney has been really successful for Manchester United. He's won a lot of trophies. He's scored a lot of goals. He's won a European Cup with them in 2008. So it's unfair to undermine him completely, but there is just that little element there. We say he's not quite reached the heights that maybe we thought he's capable of doing so far.
Now, Manchester United, a disappointing last few weeks or so. We were talking about possibly a treble being on the cards and out of the Champions League, of course, to Real Madrid, and now out of the FA Cup in that replay against Chelsea with a disappointing performance by all intents and purposes. How disappointing will just a Premier League title be for Alex Ferguson after everything seemed lined up ready for another legendary season?
Yeah, it's funny. At the end of February, we were talking about the treble, and the two schools of thought there were, yeah, they can do it, but at the same time, they needed to get better, and also that they weren't really as good a side as the team that did the treble in 1999. I think, you know, they were unlucky against Real Madrid in the Champions League. We all know what happened there. They weren't unlucky against Chelsea in the FA Cup. They were flat. And you know, Van Persie has not been the player in recent weeks that he was during the first half of the season. And maybe some of that's fatigue, some of that is just form. Chelsea deserved that victory. I thought they were more imaginative at Stamford Bridge. I thought they were more dynamic. United just weren't quite at the races. You know, the passes weren't finding feet. You know, Nani is kind of the poster child for what happened there, I think. You know, we've seen him be great for United. We've seen him be a real attacking force. He was just that player that you're not sure why he's out there at Stamford Bridge, really.
You mentioned Robin van Persie there and the trouble he's been having in front of goal in this second half of the season. I think it's just the three goals since the turn of the year, well, since the first day of the new year. And Van Persie has really gone off the boil. Should United fans be worrying about this? Because last season was the first season that we've really seen Van Persie being a consistently great striker throughout the year. Is there a worry that maybe he just had a great year last year and perhaps can't do it every season after season, week after week?
Yeah, I think it'll be a concern. I mean, not on the obviously injuries was the thing that you used to worry about with Van Persie, but he stayed relatively injury free last season with Arsenal and this season at United. And, you know, I think United are good and have a good setup there. They know how to deal with a player and keep him fresh. I think it's just Van Persie is, it's just the quality that he brings. I think it, we're talking about fractions, the difference between him now and him when he was scoring goals. I don't think United fans need to be worried. But at the same time, I think Ferguson might be thinking, having seen the last few weeks, maybe I do need another striker just to be moving in and out with Van Persie. Maybe there's still room for one more in that rotation, along with sort of Welbeck and Andes. And, you know, Rooney now more of an advanced midfielder than a striker now with United.
I was going to say, does this bode well for Wayne Rooney? Because there's been so much talk of him and potentially leaving this summer, leaving United.
Yeah, I don't think Rooney's in competition with Van Persie, to be honest. I think Van Persie plays that forward role almost on his own for United. I think Rooney's competition, as that advanced person in the middle, more obviously would be with a player like Kagawa, or, you know, somebody who's going to sit in behind. I guess they sometimes use Welbeck, but normally to one of the sides. If Rooney's playing well, he plays in that United team. I think Ferguson has made a statement of saying to him is that, you know, if he does dip in form and he's not there, then he's not guaranteed a start. And I don't think that's a bad thing, really. I think you've got to keep players on their toes, and you know, I don't think Rooney should feel he's justified to walk into that team if he's in a little lull of form.
And United, as I say, on Monday, taking on Manchester City. Is there any importance on this game at all, aside from crosstown rivalry? Is even with a City win, is the Premier League dead and buried because United are now only fighting on that front?
Yeah, I think the Premier League season is done. United are the champions. Very amusing to see. I think Mancini said, you know, they could still lose five in a row. They can't lose five in a row. I mean, that's not going to happen with the squad they've got. I mean, they could send out practically a reserve side and get at least a win in one of those games, I think. But I think for Manchester City, it's probably more important because, you know, they're a long way behind, about 15 points, I think it is. And I think a statement now would help just lift the morale and take them through to the end of the season. They've got, you know, still got the FA Cup to look forward to. They face a hard game, of course, against Chelsea. But, you know, I think if Mancini can end the season with the FA Cup and in an upward trajectory in the Premier League, and with a victory at Old Trafford, of course, would be huge psychologically, I think, to take them over the summer and into the next season again. Because they've been very underwhelming this season. I think they've missed the influence maybe of Kompany not being at his best. I think Yaya Toure not as consistently in that side for whatever reason as he was last season. It's been a very disappointing defence of a title.
You talk about players being missed there at Manchester City, and two players that are going to be missed immensely at Tottenham Hotspur after last night's Europa League. Gareth Bale out with an ankle injury, and Aaron Lennon seemingly picking up a knock as well and being replaced by Gylfi Sigurdsson early on. How destructive is this to Tottenham's push for third place and automatic Champions League qualification, losing both these two players?
Well, it has to be huge because Gareth Bale, most people would agree, has been one of the two or three most influential players in the Premier League this season. In fact, we did a piece at Bleacher Report yesterday where we were sort of saying, you know, if they had a US-style draft in the Premier League, who would be the number one pick? And really, it comes down to Suarez and Bale, and actually Juan Mata was kind of the third place person there. And you think how important Bale is for Tottenham. He's obviously scored a lot of their goals this season. And more than that, when he's on the field, just for the teammates to look towards him, he's a game changer, and he's probably the one guy on the field that if they're in a losing position is capable almost single-handedly of pulling them back. So I think it is a blow for them, and let's just hope for the sake of entertainment that it's not the rest of the season. It looked a bad injury the way it went over on it, but they're sort of talking it down a little bit this morning. He's clearly going to miss a few games, no question about that. I think if he's out for the rest of the season, you know, with Chelsea seem to be ticking over quite nicely right now, it could come down then to, you know, Arsenal, Tottenham for who gets that fourth space. I think that could be the battle that's going to ensue here, Spurs, Arsenal for the fourth Champions League spot.
With Chelsea just 2 points behind and a game in hand over Tottenham, they take on Sunderland, and Sunderland going to Stamford Bridge this weekend with their new manager Paolo Di Canio. The new manager bump, does that help Sunderland this weekend to get a result against Chelsea, or is it detrimental with how much talk and chat and coverage there's been of Sunderland over the last week around Di Canio's political views?
I think that can work two ways. I think generally when a new manager comes in, we see normally a lift. It's just a natural conclusion of that move, really. I think some of the there's always the element that the players have to kind of reprove their credentials to the new coach. Also, I just think a change just frees you up mentally a little bit. I think with the Canio thing, I think it will work positively for Sunderland because I think it will bring them together and it enforces a kind of us against them mentality. I think the Canio is, if there's one thing he's been really good at as a manager so far, it's galvanising the players he have to really play for him. I think at Swindon, you know, he upset some people along the way there, but a lot of the players there were just inspired by his enthusiasm and his kind of tenacity for everything involved with it. So I expect Sunderland to get a positive reaction from taking him on. That said, Chelsea are in a rich vein of form. You know, they've been very good at home recently. They're starting to click under Benitez. And I think this is a very, very difficult game for Sunderland. I think if they can come, a point would be huge. If they can get a point, I think that would be very, very impressive for Di Canio's trip away there.
Is it easier for Di Canio, though, to get the best out of players in League One and League Two at Swindon Town? Because he was such an epic player in English football, either pushing over referees or scoring amazing goals for West Ham. For Premier League players who are maybe have that bit more of an attitude about them, how hard is it going to be for Di Canio to really get under their skin and really evoke that same sort of response from these guys?
I don't know. I think it's interesting. I mean, we talk about players and good players make good managers. And on the evidence of the Premier League managers right now, you know, Mancini's probably the only recognised player who played at a really good level consistently, who's in there in that really leading pack of managers. The rest of them, you know, Villas-Boas, I don't think played professionally at all. You know, Ferguson obviously played a bit, but these weren't special players. And I think the one issue that you sometimes get with a player like Di Canio being a manager is perhaps that the players that he's managing can't do the things he thinks he could have done. That will be less the case, obviously, in the Premier League. I don't know. I still think he's such a big personality. There's such an aura around him that I think even players at Premier League level, being faced with him, I think they'll feel like they want to impress him. They'll feel like they want to stay in the Premier League. They want to finish their season strongly. So I don't see them struggling for motivation against Chelsea.
Well, it's about the time of year where we start picking player of the season, young player of the year, goalkeeper of the year. Just give us a few thoughts on who you pick for the PFA player of the year. Were you allowed to vote? Obviously, I don't think you're a professional footballer, but I still could be wrong. Who knows? We've never delved into your footballing past, mate. But who would you have for the front runner? Because a lot of people seem to be split on Suarez and Van Persie, and it's Suarez's attitude rather than skill that's losing him votes.
Yeah, I have to say, if I'm looking at it as a straight, I'm looking at the players, just what they've contributed for their teams. For me, it comes down to Suarez and Bale, actually. And I think for me, Suarez has been a better all-round contributor. I think what he's done for that Liverpool side has been remarkable, really. I think we look upon him because there have been those controversies surrounding him. But you can't forget how hard he works for Liverpool. And I think his role for them is so important. I mean, he is a striker, but he has this tremendous work rate. His touch is just phenomenal. His finishing is instinctive and as good as probably any striker playing in Europe right now. I think for me, it has to be Suarez. And it goes against my Manchester United leanings, I know. But I just think he's been hugely, hugely impressive. And, if Liverpool were more of a force, if he had the creative players around him that Van Persie does, I think he might have got, he might be pushing 30, 35 goals this season.
Who would you then, would you immediately put Bale as your young player because of Suarez being your PFA choice?
I think so. I've loved watching Hazard at Chelsea. I think he's maybe blown hot and cold a little bit, but I think he's just a wonderful talent and really has hit the ground running at Chelsea. I mean, some of the things he does with the ball he is a special, special player. I think the Premier League's very lucky to have him, but I think Bale has obviously stood out more than him this season.
Talking just finally, Will, just quickly on the relegation battle, and you're looking at Aston Villa, Rangers and Reading, of course, in that bottom three at the moment. Wigan taking on QPR. If Rangers get a win, does that give them a chance of getting back out of this relegation battle and moving away up into 17th or 16th eventually? Or are we talking about Rangers being done now and it's really a time that Wigan can capitalise on a deflated Rangers side?
Well, seven games to go for the bottom three. I know Wigan have a game in hand. I think QPR have to win that game. I can't see them not winning that game and having any chance. I mean, you look at the table and it looks like QPR and Reading are gone. I think the Harry factor, the factor that the QPR do have some talented players there, there is a chance they could be galvanised. Maybe a victory on the weekend, and you give them a chance. You give them maybe a 20-30% chance of getting out of there based on the teams around them and one of them having a bad end to the season. But I think it's going to then, I don't know, you know, Norwich were in free fall for a little while. They've not had a good run. I worry about them. You know, Stoke are in a dreadful run. So, you know, they're in danger. You know, Wigan have won, I think, their last two games. I don't know. It's going to be a dogfight there for that third relegation spot for sure.
The relegation battle is throwing up more and more people who can get sucked into it. If you could then, you talked about the potential of Stoke and Norwich being brought in. Not many people actually seem to be saying Newcastle as a potential relegation battler, even though they're down in 15th place on 33 points. Do you think just people are assuming Newcastle have the nuance about them to get themselves clear of this battle?
Well, you know, I mean, Newcastle lost at Wigan, and that was a bad result for them, obviously. But, you know, Wigan maybe rallying a little bit. I think getting beat by Manchester City is not a great shame. And I think Newcastle can find a way back to what we saw earlier in the season, for sure. I think they've got enough to get out here. My gut feeling says that Sunderland and Wigan perhaps the same. I think for me, if I had to nail it to the wall, I think it comes down to Villa, Norwich and Stoke at this point. They're the three I think will be involved in that last spot.
All the way up to 13th place in the Premier League. No one is safe just yet. Will, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today, mate. We look forward to getting you back as soon as possible to before the end of the season so we can see how your relegation and Champions League tips are going. And we always enjoy having you on the show, mate.
Thanks very much. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers, Will. Take care and have a good one. Will Tidy there joining us here from Bleach Report on World Football Daily on the Friday edition of the show, talking all things Premier League, and that relegation battle in the Premier League is just hotting up and just seemingly by the week sucking in more and more people as teams start to stumble, slip and fall. Very interesting what he was saying there about Gareth Bale as well at Tottenham Hotspur and how important, how influential his goals have been. If you look at the 17 goals that he scored in the Premier League, he scored one in that last game against Swansea where they won 2-1, scored one against Arsenal when they won 2-1, scored two against West Ham where they won 3-2, he scored two against Newcastle when they won 2-1, scored one against West Brom when they won 1-0, scored one against Norwich when they got the 1-1 draw, scored three against Villa when they won 4-0, so maybe not a winning goal, but definitely a decisive performance in that game. Scored one against Liverpool when they won 2-1. Scored just one against Tottenham, against West Ham when they won 3-1. So again, not an essential goal. Similarly, his goal against Arsenal in that 5-2 loss. But his goal against Southampton when he scored in that 2-1 victory, the 3-2 victory over Manchester United back in the early part of the season. All of those goals, pretty much, are goals that have kind of helped decide games and give Tottenham that one goal edge on the final score sheet and give them all 3 points or even provide them with a point at the end of the game. Gareth Bale's goals have been more than influential for this Tottenham Hotspur side this season. If you took them away, it'd be very interesting to see how the table would look without his shooting boots on this season. Of course, Gareth Bale getting injured last night against Basel, as was Aaron Lennon. We're going to have a little bit of chat about the Europa League from yesterday evening when we return here on World Football Daily. We've got IKTS. Still to come. A look at Major League Soccer as well this weekend, and of course the rest of Europe to catch up on too. We'll be right back in just a mo here on World Football Daily.